Mr. Mackenzie Reel 1. When and where were you born?
I was born in 6 James Street, Mount Pleasant, Berkeley. I'm the youngest one of 6 children. My father was a miner. My mother was just a housekeeper at the time. She ended up staying, and then she started during the war, she had to go into work because that was when we set me there. My first recollection of anything about life was when the coronation was on. So that would be in 1937 when we started a party on. We're riding around that one and we've done quite a lot of things and enjoyed ourselves. It was a street party with hats, cups, and the cups, well, we got them, we smashed them, so we wanted to go and buy them again. That was me and the lads that was there.
You mentioned your father was a miner?
Yes, a miner.
Did he work locally?
Yeah, he worked at the shop there. He got hurt when he was in the mines, and that was during the war, about 1942. It was a roof fall, and him and another man was kept in there for 2 days. The other man lost his eyes, lost an eye, and he totally went blind after that one. So my dad, after that one, when he got out, he got his hurt in that one. So when he done it, he kept his union going, and I managed to come to our house. He came to our house because he could play the piano, and he was a player. So when he came to the house at Mount Pleasant, he always come up the back street, walk to the street, go down, and climb the steps. Now this is when he never got out, but he was clever at that. He got up the first step, and there was another step, 5 steps, another step up there, along there, and he went up 6 steps after that. And then up another one, and then he went into the room. He had done that one. He never got out. And every time he came into the house, he had to sit in the rocky chair. The rocky chair was in there. What a rocky chair. Where my mother used to sit there. And after that one, he'd have his cup of tea. It was always the day. He always come on a Thursday because we used to bake then. And he got his stutty cake when he went back over. And the bread was there. Smelled the bread. Then he'd play the piano for about an hour. When he was playing, if a man across the road, occasionally, if they heard him, he would join in. So the door, if it was the summer, the door would open, and he'd come partying with that one. And then so one day he came up, and there was 5 pianists in that street, and he used to all join in. 3 brothers, the Pools, and he used to play the piano. And occasionally one of them would get the violin out, and that was what we had in my lifetime, musical. But unfortunately, it never passed on to me. I went for lessons, my sister and me, and were never interested. Not an interest one iota. School, I started Rainbow Terrace School at 5. I met a lad when the first week were there, called him Tom Peel. And me and him were the villains of the villains, because we could always get together and we're in more bother than what you ever seen. Went to school together, went through most of the class, we were sitting together, or occasionally would be moved. But the first thing we got, we climbed on the wall. It was the Rainbow Terrace School.
What was the school like? Can you describe the school?
It's a small church school. There's a little square. It's a square one. The hall's at the one side, and the hall's at the round, a square then. Before the change, the classrooms was Little Miss Tower, Big Miss Tower, Miss Hasty, Granny Adamson, Coulthard, Rose and Soresby. That was there. There was other class there, but through the war and coming on, they closed that class.
So what year was it when you started school?
I started in 1938, in September 1938.
And you say it was a church school?
It was actually a Protestant, St. John's, and the church was there, and it's a school. But then it went to the council school after that one, because of the council. And that's where we started in that one.
So was the church important then?
Well, you go to church when we were there, when you got higher up in the class, it's there. You came out when I was 7, I had to go to Sunday school. Well, I went with my sister before that. My mother and father should take us to church every Sunday. But there was the chapel was next to the school, actually. There was a tin hut there. It was a big tin hut, and that was where it was. So that was where you had to go in. And the only reason why you went there is so you get your stamps. And during the war, you got an apple at the end of the deal, and maybe it's a bar of chocolate. So that was your stamps. That was what you went there for. Now, if you when you got the 8 and 9 in that school, you had to go. I'm jumping the queue here because I'm jumping. The first one went through. We just with little Miss Toward and Big Miss Toward. You had to do your A, B, C's and your numbers, right? And if you done quite sufficient in both of them, you missed that one. You went either Hastings or Miss Rose Penn, which way the classes went. You might change over. And when you went to Mrs. Adamson's, which is where we call her Ganny Adamson, she had a stick, which was used to use frequently with us. It was a cane, actually.
I was just going to say, was that for punishment?
Punishment. Because you had to sing with her. She loved her. She loved her Northumbrian singing, and she loved her dancing, and she was a very fanatic for learning this type of music. So you can understand some of us putting the words in, and rather being that way, and go down. So we couldn't very well get into the habit of that one. And if you didn't do it, you liked to get us. You couldn't get sweets then, because it was during the war that time to start. So you had to go and get. Fruit. Well, where I lived up, there's a people called Lees that had a shop. They also had four Shire horses, and another one, but they had to get rid of them just before that. And we got a wagon, a one four ton wagon, right? So they could go across the town, get our own vegetables and fruit, and bring them back. So that was another job I had, because you'd go up there and you could muck out with the horses. Well, you can understand that we're getting apples, whatever was going at the time. But to keep Mrs. Adamson happy, if there was cherries or peaches, I could always take them along. She had to pay for them, you understand, but she got them. And one of the lads actually had taken a few off her, and she caught them. And the lad was Wilson, and he had to run away, and he ran out of school, and he went up to Portobello. He was on his way to Portobello. And we had to chase after him to bring him back again, because he was going to get wrong for it. And I wouldn't mind, at times she gave him all his cherries, and we didn't get a bloody one.
So what was discipline like at school? What are your recollections of?
Discipline, it was very, very good. It was, you know, it was the same as anything else. If you'd done something wrong, you went in the clear. You had to go to school, they get in the school, you had to line up, stand in lines. You weren't allowed to talk after when the whistle blew. You were called in, the retchie was called as usual. You had to sit in the seat in that one. And if you had to go anywhere, you had to be walked along and you had to put in there. If you run in any of the school, the headmaster, Mr. Bolton, caught you. Yeah. Well, I was fortunate because Mr. Bolton, I was very friendly with Mr. Bolton, the headmaster. Because my mother and his wife were known. So I've come up as his messenger. The reason why it was because I used to go on the horse and carts when I was 9 and 10. And I could go from here to Houston, Washington, even Springwell, you know, that type of thing. And I used to go up there. Later on, I started going, stopped there, and I was working for them a little bit of time. And occasionally, when I worked with me, there was a lad called Alan Black, who was the milkman. His father had the farm just below the school. Actually, that's where the big house is there now. And we used to go down there, and it was a favourite job here. You went and carried the crates of little milk bottles up, right? You carried them up, you got an extra one. So you weren't very shy to go and do that.
So how long were you at that school?
I was there till I was 11. Then we went from there to Berkeley School.
Was that a much larger school?
Berkeley's is just the same as there. It takes the three schools in. It takes Kibbles with it. It takes Springwell in. It took Harlow Green School in. And it took Ravenforth School. But George Street had a school there. George Street. Oh, and Elizabethville. Elizabethville came up because that was there. That was the last there. But George Street had. You could go from George Street to, from 5 to 14 then. And it was post went to 50. And what it was, if you stopped there, you could either come down that one. So some people went to George Street, a few were, and they had the room. And some of the George Street members came up there with us. Quite a few of them actually came up there with us. And then we went to that school.
So what was life? Was life comfortable as a child?
Well, what was we were starting to feel the pinches then when we went to Berkeley School. The war was on, so the food wasn't that good. Luckily, you see, we had a few with the pigs. People kept pigs up where I live, so and we had a vegetable. We all had a. My father had an allotment, a big, you know, allotment when during the war, because we had to take the allotment out. It was actually used the park. We took the park over, and we got an allotment in there. And most of the men would have to work in there on the mines and put the vegetables in. So we're pretty well with fresh vegetables, reasonable. Fruit, well, fairly hitty-missy, but we've been there. As I say, we could get what was coming in. You know, that was the point.
So your father was a miner. That was obviously a protected trade. Did he do anything else?
No, it wasn't protected trade because my brother was a miner as well. And my brother was a miner. And my brother was a miner. But because of the war, they had to come out of the mines. My brother went down to ironworks. My other brother came up there and went on the bank, up the top of the pit, right, what they call bank work. He was pulled in the army, and then my brother was pulled in through it. That's what they wanted to have, because if they didn't go down, they had to stop there. So they came out, and they went in the army. My brother went in 1941, and my brother-in-law went in 1940. He went in the army, both joined up.
Which regiments did they go into?
The artillery was there, and my brother was only, because my brother's only got one eye, so, you know, like a cast in his eye, but he got into the army. And he was in a firefight, and he was putting during the desert, he was putting the tanks out, that was his, recovering bodies in that one. He was most of them with a lot of South Africans in that, the coloured lads was coming in there, and that was what it was, and they were doing that type of work. And actually, when the Tobruk was on, he got lost for 6 months, both of them got lost, they met once, five of them. It was strange how it was, five men from Berkeley. And we were there, they met together, stood there for a day, on the tram they come, and never seen each other again until they came out. So that's just one of them things which happens in life.
Do you have any other memories of life during the war?
Me? Oh yes, quite a few. What you wonder, what the war, the air raid shelters, when the air raid shelter was getting built. First time that was when we were, so that would be 1939 when we were at school, when we were there. 1939-40 would be around that one. They were building them in the play area. Now we had a little play area then, because it was across on the farm side. And that was taken over, and there were shelters put in there. Three. There was two shelters in that one, and they went in the big yard. And of course, men that was there, like Joan's father came, Bart, old Mr. Bart, where I lived. And they were there, so we were just playing around. It was out of bounds, if that was the word could put out of bounds. And we couldn't keep out, me and Tom couldn't keep out. No ways. And we're always doing daft things. I must admit, foolish. Anyway, daft heart in it. And at the end of the day, we're always getting caned or something like that for it. Oh, that way. The other one, the army. When the army came, 1942, the Essex come up. There was a battalion of Essex come up here in Barracker here, and they used the Masonic Hall, the old school, what was behind there. It was actually the old church hall, but it was an old, big old-fashioned school, the old-type high school, and they were in there. And then they were there for quite a while, and they were building shelters after that one, and then they came across here to where the store hall is here, and they built three there, and it was like spread all over the battalion. When I was with the Tosh was there, and with Tosh having the wagon, and we had potatoes, we got a contract for to deliver to these people. I didn't do the Berkeley one. Occasionally, I would go from here up to the prisoner of war, something, there's a prisoner of war up here, or the camps, what the men was, Lumley.
So you had prisoner of war camp up here?
They had prisoner of war, And then we had a one at, what do you call it again, the one up... Beamish, where it was Beamish, around about that way. And the other camp was up here, where the artillery was up here on Ousen. There was a battery of artillery there, and they were in here for the first one. Battery of artillery there. Guns, that was where it was, but the guy, the ordnance factory. So we'd gone up there. And that was when I was doing that, I was collecting coins. I started collecting the coins, you know, coins in the vehicle. So I was getting quite a few different depth coins. Cab badge is another one I got. And stamps, something would get the stamps up, and because they'll say, yeah, did you save these ones? And they'll say, put them in for us. And then they say, that was, so I was getting the only reason what I was on the wagon for when they're delivering, so nobody could pinch the stuff off it. That was what it was. Even when I came, when I was up there, when I was in during the, when I was 12 and 13, I used to go up there and during the war, and the men was going on night shift. And something, I didn't come back on the bus at 11 o'clock. On 11 o'clock, something, 12 o'clock bus, when they were coming back over. Put us on the bus. And if you ever got robbed, they weren't bothered. Because I had the money in my back pocket. I was sitting with the money in my back pocket. So they weren't so bothered. And, there. And that was Monday. The Monday was the market. Tuesday and Wednesday were in there. Thursday was the market. And Friday and Saturday was the that one. The Wednesday you went up with a coal and the furniture removing. And that's what it was. Like
that. Were there any air raids up here?
Yeah, there was air raids up here. My grandma, we lived at Jarrow. And went across, she got bombed out the first house. And what they called Front Street, then she went to Back Street. And she says, I'll never move again. And the next time she went back to Back Street because she got bombed out again. She says, this is the last time I'm shifting. She says, you see that brick across there? She says, that's all I'll be able to see. Because it's an upstairs house. And all across there was just bricks. And she says, and that's Flemish Bond. I'll remember that. She's had us thing. She said, I'm going to count them, she said, until I get it. And her daughter, I mean, mother's stepsister, used to work in the bars then because he had to go in. They worked in the shop and they worked in the bar thing. And they were saving threepenny bits, old threepenny bits in there, you know, the threepenny bits. And one was threepenny silver, threepenny bits, and the other one was there. And she got me one day to count them. And I couldn't, you know, that was standing up on that one. Stand them up in that one, she wouldn't tell what it was. And I don't remember that one. And from that one, we also went across. My sister had TB. And we had to go, my father, or my mother, had to go up to Seam Harbour, because she's over there. And once we went across, just during the war, we stopped. The bus couldn't get across. And the big guns was on. And it was the plane coming up, so we had to stop on the bus. We couldn't go any further, couldn't go back anything else, so we're there. And you got to understand that day, my mother wants to get there because it was total four for the hospital, and we couldn't get there. Well, we had to come round, and instead of coming back from there to Sunderland to Chess Street, and Chess Street to Berkeley, that was the buses. We had to go the other way. We had to go to Newcastle and come out Newcastle way. Because it was the way it was. And that was one of the things that would happen to you, travelling.
So how old were you when you left school?
I was 15.
Did you have any qualifications?
No, I didn't take any qualifications. I didn't take them. We weren't, we were morally trained for the, what I call it again, mines in the factories and that one. Our last 2 years was to go around every factory or brickyard and stood that one. When I came out, I was going to try to go to the mines for my dad. But unfortunately, he wouldn't let us go down. So I went to Corsia first over.
What did you think of the education, just before we come on to employment, what did you think of your education that you got?
Basically, it was quite, well, it was just, the teacher was then, during the war, they were reasonable, I suppose. But, you know, they weren't that, you know, they were oldish, if I can put it that way. Through an eyes of a child, you know what I mean? You're looking at that one, we're all quite oldish people there. Yeah, I suppose that when we came, just before we came here, they started bringing the teachers out of the war, you know, them. And you look, you've seen the other ones. I mean, see, the headmaster was 66 or 67. The Wilson and Wilkinson were in the First World War. So you can give you an idea. But again, you know, that type of thing. And he had been gassed, so. And the other man was, the one that was there was Sammy Waddle. He was teaching me football. Well, I'm on a 50, 50, 55 or something like that. So, and Miss Rose, she was about 50 odd as well.
Was there a lot of sport? Did you play a lot of sport?
Yeah, I played sport. I even got a try for for Chesley. But I was for cricket, of all things, I was going to be the wicketkeeper. Unfortunately, I was very poor at the batting side. And I went down. A lad called Willis, he went down with us and we tried that. Then when Lightfoot came, it was a different kettle of fish because he was a semi-professional. And he took a lot of things. But under football, we had quite a good team up there. We won most of the cups and most of the shields at that time. But the decent players, what was there, the ones that was before that, they couldn't play because they had to put an age limit on. So they brought it in. So we came into it. The lads that was there, the 13 and 14s, to take over from them, and they couldn't get in. So we never used the top team, you know, the top ones. And of course, we played right up until I was 15.
So do you think, I mean, looking back, do you think that your school life prepared you for your adult life? Do you think it was adequate in not only education, but everything else?
Well, let me say, the way I lived, that where I was brought up, the women, you had women that could cook, and the men that could do the thing. My dad had to mend his own shoes. He could do his gardening. He could repair, you know, things like that. He had a man along the road, he was a joiner, so you learned that. There was a bricklayer along there. He had the Belgians with him. He had a couple of Belgians up with him. As I say, the musicians was there, if you want to learn off the men what was living where I lived, there were two card shops, you know, there, good ones. You had the bookmakers with him. Then, you know, there. You had singers. You had quite a few good singers up there. You could do it there. And you want to learn, say, football teams, the man could recite them off you. The other man could deal with the horse racing from 1888 right through and give you all every winner. So it was just memory. You could learn off that. It's quite good.
You mentioned Belgians. There was a Belgian community here, wasn't there?
Yes, that was down in the huts, that one. But these ones were the ones that, when they left the huts, they decided to come in to live in the Bertie and they bought property. And actually, the church, the Catholic church, was a Belgian contingent from somewhere that was there. Was where the money came from, that church, for the Catholic church.
Where did they come from? What were the huts?
The huts was built, they brought them across here for the ordnance factory, for the factory, the guns and ammunition.
And these were Belgian civilians?
Belgian civilians. They had a different currency, they had a different system of life. And also they had allotments, and they had them at Robson's Fields. They could look, have their hens in that one. So they were a different people.
Where were the huts then?
The huts was down Windsor Road. You go from all the bottom house of Chester, from Bertie. As soon as you go to the fire station, Bertie Fire Station, along the road here, the new fire station, right? Go there, the first up and down there, all that land from there, right along. And there was only two blocks of houses up there. The only thing was a farmhouse there. Right, it was a little farmhouse, three wood huts. And then the council took it over. And that was where it was. The rest of it, and across the road after that one, there was two shops. There were three shops. And there was a block of flats, but they were knocked down because they were unsafe, like everything else had been old property. The rest of them, all the way down there, was all the Belgian huts. Also, the school was there, Elizabethville School. The Belgium Assembly is the assembly there, which has only got a few in there now. And they had a hospital come down there.
So did complete families come over?
Oh yes, they all came across. Oh yes, they lived down here. Yeah, they lived here.
And how long had they been here?
They came in, I think they came about 1940, just before 1914, and they came across. Because the ordnance factory then was just getting built up. It would only be sheds and that.
So for the First World War?
Yeah, for the First World War. But they came here.
How did they integrate with the local community?
They didn't, they were kept apart from each other because they still had the land. As far as I can gather, my mother and father, but some of them could speak good English. Well, Ged was the watchmaker, Frankie Lombard was the bricklayer who worked for the on the council and that one. Then he went for the mines. The other one was I forget his name now. He lived at South Terrace. He was the shoe man. The most one was the tradesman that stopped back and tried to, you know, live in the community.
So there must
the other one. Summerbell was the other one. Summerbell's, and the Summerbell's was quite a few, and the three of them stopped across brothers now.
So there must have been over here quite a while in the Second World War.
Oh, yeah, the Frankie Lombard never went back. He never went back over. The Summerbell, I think he only visited once. Pearson's only went back again because he married a Belgian. He had quite a few women while he's Belgian. You know what I mean? That was what it was. But you've got to remember them days. You've got to sit back and think about that. And enough chance, what you've asked us, take us long time to think about that. I'd gone through it. I mean, it would come eventually. I mean, so I'd go through it.
It's quite interesting having a Belgian community up here.
Yeah, well, there's a book I wrote about it. It's in the Gator Library, if you ever want to read it, it's in there. There's quite a lot of photographs there, and they took them from, like, the families what we have. You know, there's a few there. My sister actually gave a few of the photographs into that type of thing.
Oh, so are some of those generations still here in Burley, still reflected in
the relations are here. The Frankies, I mean, sir, you're talking about hunting the men, them day we hunt 9, hunting 12, and, you know, that type of age. But they're still here.
Did you have much to do with them yourself?
Yeah, when I was with them, it was quite honest. I mean, the one that was there, he was there. I could speak a bit of a bit Flemish, you know what I mean? Didn't have much chance, but could do it. But, you know, the spelling and the way how they do it. Same with the French, use that one. But at the end of the day, we're not using it. It just goes out your head, doesn't use it. If you don't use it, it's a waste of time. I've been back to Belgium and I tried to remember some of the things. I can remember some of the words, but again, I had to sit down and listen to it, you know, for a fortnight and then pick it up again. But you don't do it. When I came out, I went with Frankie for a little bit. He showed you a few of the brick, you know, because I went to the bricklayer. And I started as a bricklayer. But before that, I tried in the mines. I tried always to get in the mines to go with my dad.
So when you left school, the first thing you tried was the mines?
Oh, no. The first job we started with, we went down with the factories, and we went down to Durham Chemicals, the Ordnance Factory, Iron Company, the brickyards, where it was the sewer, that one. Then the Durham Chemicals was about four firms down there, New Walls and that one, Henley's. And it was like all the factories there, and they were trying to show you how to go on and what they can get you. So if they can get a hold of you, you can go in. That was what it was about. More than anything else, they needed employment, and that was what it was.
So what was your first job when you left school?
A bricklayer. I left school on the Friday, and I was at work on the Friday. I left school at 4 o'clock, and I was at school at work on the Friday, 5 or 7.
15-year-old.
Yep, I'd been working before that, but I was there.
So that was your first full
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I worked the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I was back in the Monday.
What was the name of the
firm? The firm was called Thomas T. Martin Builder. One man job, one man builder. That's what it was. And then, of course, you start to get a few men on, start the jobs on.
So were you taken on as an apprentice?
Yes, I was an apprentice. But it was just the biggest slap is when I started for him. After 15, when I was six, well, nearly 16, we were working for the building of Rex here. It's the Rex Club. It was a police club, actually. That's what they called it, Rex. It was the police club. Building that.